When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Alo or Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret? With Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whatever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/try to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/try.
Usually, you'd call this the city that never sleeps. In my eyes, it does nothing but sleep on the rising criminal organizations, rolls over and turns a blind eye to the marshal and deputy's abuses of power, and it hits the snooze button on the blatant corporate corruption, bleeding into the downs from the skylines.
Stranger, what are you doing?
Me? Well, I'm just an independent investigator. Not a detective, chasing leads and uncovering truths like a metaphor that I'll think of in a minute. There's not a stone or a metal sheet I leave unturned. I'm a man of pure will, sheer ambition.
Okay, no. No, you are not.
I could be, though.
Sure, but why?
Pennies. And I'm also taking credit now, since UAU started cashing out 150% on the coin.
That's it.
Well,
the amount of soul craze cases are skyrocketing.
And what? Are we just gonna ignore these new guys?
The media is lying about it. Ensign is covering it up.
There's been a change.
There will be loyalty before money and mercy.
In SCT, everyone's a player, but only a few get to deal the cards.
Someone is playing at a very dangerous game.
I wonder if you're a detective, or just another piece of the puzzle waiting to be solved.
I've never seen a pair of hands that weren't stained red in this city.
Oh, we got ourselves a killer over here.
Money talks, but power whispers, so listen carefully, stranger.
You were so sure you knew everything. But where has that led you?
You wanna go again?
You cannot stop us.
What even are you?
You're still nothing but a lie. A fake. Sunken Star, Ensign, they will crush you.
Mayday,
what
mayday,
do you know?
We're going down!
Answer me!
Some answers get you killed.
I'll break every bone in your body.
In the city, everyone has a story. Some are just better at hiding it.
Who are you? What?
A man called Stranger. Available everywhere.
Darkcast Network. Welcome to the dark side of podcasting.
And thank you all for tuning in. Today's episode, we have Volume 3 of Nightbeat, a series that ran for 2 years, debuting in 1950 and ending in 1952, about a mystery-solving reporter in Chicago. To have a mystery series that had a reporter solving the crimes was a formula that I really liked, but they didn't do too often. If you enjoy it too, be sure to check out Volumes 1 and 2 of Nightbeat in the Archives, as well as Bright Star, Volume 1. And also, if you enjoy this podcast, please follow, review, and rate. What's nice about that is if you do it one time, you're done, and you don't have to keep doing it for every episode. And for those that have already done it, thank you. That really helps out the show. And also, keep sending in those questions, so that I can answer them on our 1 year anniversary special episodes. Find all the places to contact me in the links in the description. And if you're on Spotify, Please don't forget to comment and check out the polls. It's a great way to get feedback about the show. And with all that, please enjoy Nightbeat.
Nightbeat.
Hi, this is Randy Stone. I cover the Nightbeat for the Chicago Star. Stories start many different ways. This one started, strangely enough, with the flame of a match, whose feeble glow lit up a lightened face in the darkness. A frightened face twisted by an agonizing fear of death.
Nightbeat, starring Frank Lovejoy as Randy Stone.
The night is a thief, some poet once wrote, that steals the colors from the day. It's kind of pretty if you like words, but for my dough, they're not exactly true. Because there are colors at night. The burning red of passion, the angry green of jealousy, and the ugly, terrifying black of fear. This was one of those nights when pickings were slim. I'd cover the town from Henrici's Bar in the Mart, out to Hyler's on the North Shore, and back downtown again with nothing to show for it. I was taking a shortcut through Lincoln Park to pick up my car. At that time of night, the park was pretty deserted, except for this girl walking up ahead of me. Not a bad silhouette, I might add, against the distant light. We were about halfway through the park when suddenly she stopped and threw herself onto a bench at the side of the path. There was something almost desperate about the way she did it. I ran up to her. Excuse me, are you all right?
Yes, I'm all right.
Well, I thought maybe you were sick or something.
I told you I'm all right. Will you please let me alone?
Oh, now look, lady, it's not what you think. Well, this park, at this time of night, it's no place for a girl to sit around by herself.
I don't need any help. Just go away.
Oh, sure, sure, I'll get lost. I can see you're all right. Only you don't mind if I just sit here and smoke a cigarette before I go.
It's a public park. I don't care what you do.
Thank you. You care for a cigarette?
No.
Of course, in order to really enjoy a smoke, you've got to have a match first. I said in order to enjoy a smoke, you've got to...
I heard you. Here.
Thank you. Here.
Keep the book.
No, no, you better hang on to these.
I won't need them.
Well, you might need them later tonight.
After tonight, I won't need anything.
Oh, now, wait a minute. That's no way to talk. The only time you're not going to need anything, sister, is after you're dead.
Why did you say that?
What?
That about being dead.
Well, no reason. Why?
Because after tonight, I will be.
The girl jumped up and started running. Here was a kid that was afraid. Afraid of death or afraid of life. But then, isn't everybody? I turned the matchbook over and looked at the ad on the cover. Penguin Club. A little all-night jump and jive place over on Clark Street. That's one I've been missing lately. On a hunch, I ambled up North Avenue in that general direction, turned up Clark a ways, and there it was. It was good to get inside out of that wind.
Check your hat and coat, mister?
No, thanks. I'm just looking around.
Can I get you a table? It's almost the end of the floor show.
Well, anywhere in the back will be all right.
Okay.
The hat check girl, hostess or whatever she was, walked me through the bar to the edge of the main room. And then I stopped and really did a take. Out in the middle of the dance floor, under a little baby spot, singing in front of a five-piece band, was Little Miss Desperate from the park.
Nice voice, don't you think?
Yeah, yeah. Who is she?
Oh, that's Franny. Fran Fowler. Haven't you been in here before?
Not for quite a few months.
Of course, she hadn't got much experience yet.
From out of town, hmm?
Someplace over in Wisconsin. Not bad looking, huh?
In everything.
Say, what's wrong with her?
Gee, I don't know.
I can't!
Well, how do you like that?
Come on, folks, come on. Let's give the little girl a great big hand. Nothing like a real sad song to wind up a real sad act, especially for a real sad tomato. No. It's all in fun. So let's dance now. Come on, you lucky guys and girls. Get out of here. Hiya, Becky. You got yourself a live one, huh?
Hello, Tommy. This is Tommy Mason. Ain't he the one?
Yes, he's quite the one, all right.
Gee, Tommy, you sure covered up for Franny, all right.
Never let down. Keep him going all the time. That's show business. You know how it is, mister.
Oh, yes, I've heard. The show must go on. It's a new thing.
You gotta keep him laughing.
Honest, mister, he's this way all the time. What a joker.
Oh, look, about that girl.
Franny?
Yeah, Franny. What seems to be the trouble?
Well, that's hard to say, pal. Maybe she just found out she ain't no dinosaur, and she sure ain't.
Tommy, you kill me.
Seriously, fella. Fella, why would a girl break up that way in the middle of her number and start to cry?
Could be she got a cinder in her eye. But just to make sure, I'll go ask her.
See you later, Tommy. Come on, fella. How's about buying a girl a drink?
Oh, sure, in a minute. About this Franny.
Look, do we have to talk about her? I thought you came in here for some fun.
Maybe I get my fun wondering about people. What time's the next floor show?
Next one's at 2, then 4.
Oh, they're not kidding about this all-night business.
And still another one at daylight.
She's singing all of them?
How should I know? She missed most of the 12 o'clock show. Just got here for that last number.
Any idea where she lives?
A rooming house around an Erie Street.
Know the number?
391. You know, you ask an awful lot of questions.
Well, that's my business. I'm a reporter, Randy Stone.
I might have known it. Look, you're not going to bother her tonight, are you? Of all nights?
Tonight?
This is the night that Charlie Dane is being executed down at Joliet.
What's that got to do with her?
Well, how would you feel? Look, Mr. Stone, she's human. This is the night her boyfriend's gonna die.
I went up to the front of the bar to a phone booth and called the paper. There was something about this in the back of my mind somewhere. Something I ought to remember, but couldn't. I had the girl on the board put me through to Gabby in the library.
Library?
Oh, hello, Gabby. This is Randy.
Yeah, Randy.
What have you got on the Charlie Dana case?
Still a little early, Randy. Execution's not set until 1:30.
No, I mean old stuff.
Oh, I got the file right here, Randy. Dug it out earlier for background.
Good. Anything on a girl named Fran Fowler?
Yeah, let's see. Charlie Dana. Small-time gambler killed a guy named Donnelly.
Oh, yes, I remember that. A gambling beat.
Execution originally set for November, but he got a couple of months' stay. Oh, here she is, Fran Fowler. Singer in a nightclub. Was supposed to be his alibi, but the DA blew her up on the witness stand. She admitted she wasn't positive about when she'd been out with the guy.
Oh, yeah, that was it. I knew it was something. Anything more?
Oh, details, Randy, details.
Okay, Gabby, thanks. I'll catch up with you. Oh, Mason. Excuse me, were you waiting to use the phone?
No, I was waiting to talk to you.
Why, certainly, but this time, no jokes, if you don't mind. I'm expecting a headache.
You're not funny, Stone. Who are you talking to?
Well, isn't that kind of my business?
Peggy says you're a reporter.
Yes, of a sort.
You were asking about Fran, where she lived.
That's right.
You gotta let her alone, see? You printed enough about her.
Just a minute, Mason. Those are my lapels that you're hanging on to.
Peggy shouldn't have given you Fran's address. I don't want you bothering her.
I said let go of my lapels, funny man, or something's liable to explode in your face. Now you stay out of my way or I'll ruffle that shiny hair.
Where are you going?
See about a cinder in a lady's eye.
You're not gonna see her. I won't let you. Can't she see this whole thing's driving her crazy?
Tommy, believe me, I'm not interested in harming her or anyone. I'm just a guy trying to do a job. If you'll step out of my way...
You're please. Not going there. I won't let you. I won't
sorry,
let you.
Sorry, but
I won't
you'll ask for it. My, that's a real nervous fella. Now that he'd made such an issue out of it, going around to see Fran Fowler was a definite must on my schedule. I picked up my car and drove over to Erie Street. 391 wasn't much different from any of the rest of the rooming houses on the block. I got the number of her room from the mailbox and started down the dingy corridor to room 8. I knocked at the door, but there was no answer. I knocked again, and then I smelled gas.
Hey, anyone in there? Miss Fowler! Fran!
I put my shoulder to the door, and the flimsy lock snapped open. I rushed into the gas-filled room, holding my breath until I could smash open the window and let in some air. And then I saw Fran Fowler, the girl from the park, lying across the bed. And on a table beside her, one of those two burner gas stoves with both jets wide open. I turned them off and started shaking the girl. Miss Fowler, Franny, come on, get up. You got to get out of here. Look, am I going to have to carry you?
Put me down.
You little fool, this room is filled with gas.
My purse.
Where?
On the table.
Okay, I've got it. Fine thing with a gun in it.
Give that to me.
Outside, baby, outside. It was 6 seconds flat when we hit the sidewalk in the fresh air. I put Fran in the front seat of my car and then ran around and climbed in behind the wheel. I headed out to Sheridan Road along the lake. The cool, clean air felt good in my lungs, and I could see Fran drinking it in, realizing now how close she'd been. I didn't make her talk until we were a long way out of town. Then I pulled over to the beach side of the road and killed my motor. We seem to keep bumping into each other in the strangest places tonight.
I guess I should say thanks.
No, not at all. I'm the one who should say thanks. I still haven't returned your matches.
Please don't make fun of me.
No, I'm not. You see, I know now who you are.
Charlie Dana's girl. Why don't you say it?
In my book, you're just a kid I met in the park.
What time is it?
It's 1:45.
Then...
Yes, it's probably all over by now. Like me to turn on the radio and...
No. No, I don't want to hear about it.
You must love him an awful lot.
Love him? I despise him.
But still you were willing to alibi for him on a murder charge?
I wasn't. I told him I wasn't sure of the time I was out with him, but he made me say it was the exact hour when the man was killed.
Didn't you realize you might have been perjuring yourself?
I didn't lie. I just didn't remember. It might have been like he said. When you're not sure, what else can you do?
Yeah. How'd you happen to get mixed up with him?
I didn't know anybody when I first came here. I was lonesome.
And he was nice to you.
He was. A lot more decent than most of the men who want to take you out when you're working in a club.
Then why do you hate him now?
I didn't know what he did. A lot of people gamble. I didn't think too much about it. Then we got to going out evenings between shows at the club on my nights off.
And the killing happened when you and he were supposed to have been out someplace together?
That's what he said. He wasn't arrested until a few weeks after the trouble. I couldn't remember if I'd been with him during that particular time or not.
Well, it's all over now. You did what you had to. That's about all any of us can do. But you got to forget about it. Put it out of your mind. There's nothing more to worry about.
Oh, that's just it. You don't understand. There is.
What are you talking about?
He promised. He promised, and I know he'll keep his promise.
Promised what?
I want to see him in prison.
In the death house?
I had to. I wanted him to understand, but he said I tricked him.
What, by telling the truth on the witness stand?
He said I double-crossed him, but now he didn't care.
Why would he say that?
He said he didn't care because the night he died, I would die. And I'm afraid.
You are listening to Nightbeat, starring Frank Lovejoy as Randy Stone.
This was real. This was no act. The sound she made would tear you to pieces, like some pitifully frightened animal who'd lost everything in the world. I let her cry it out. After all those months of strain, she'd have to get it out of her system.
He said the night he died, I'd die.
Sure. So you were scared. Who wouldn't be? But don't you see, that's just a cruel boast made by a cheap hoodlum who's trying to hurt you, make you feel responsible for his own plight.
But he meant it. I know he did.
Well, maybe he did at the time, but you've got nothing to worry about now. You had nothing to do with it. He paid for his own crime. Now he's dead, and you're still alive.
He'll keep his promise.
How can he? He's dead.
I know you think I'm crazy.
No. But has anyone really tried to harm you?
Oh, but this wasn't the night he was supposed to...
Yes, I know. The execution was originally set for November.
It was that night in November. I hadn't been afraid before. I thought it was like you said, because it was bitter. But all that day I was upset. I told them at the club I couldn't work, and late in the afternoon I got a note from Peggy saying why didn't I go out to her cabin at the dunes for a couple of days. Nobody would bother me, no reporters, and I could get a good rest. So I drove out there that evening. It was quiet. Nothing around. Just empty sand dunes and her cabin all alone on the edge of the lake. I called Peggy at the club to let her know I got in all right.
Oh, hello, Fran. Where are you calling from?
Why, from your place.
My apartment?
No, your cabin.
At the dunes?
It was swell of you, Peggy, to let me come out here.
Well, of course, Franny. You're welcome to use the place, but I don't quite know what you mean.
Well, your note this afternoon telling me to come out here.
I didn't write you any note.
Oh, come on, Peggy, you did. You even told me where the key would be, under the flower pot.
But, kid, that's where we always keep it. Everybody knows that.
Peggy,
Now, don't worry about it, kid. One of the girls probably sent you the note and just hasn't had a chance to tell me about it yet. I should have thought of it myself
no,
in the first place.
No, wait, Peggy. I'm scared.
Well, what in the world else?
You remember what I told you about what Charlie said the last time I saw him?
In prison?
It was about tonight that he said when he died,
cut it, Franny, now cut it before you drive yourself
Peggy,
back.
Peggy, I'm all alone and I'm scared. I don't know what to do.
Franny, you got to hang up right away. You shouldn't be out there all alone tonight. Get in your car and come back to town as fast as you can. I'll wait for you here.
All right, Peggy. All right. I hung up the phone and ran out of the house to my car. I turned on the ignition key and stepped on the starter. It wouldn't start. My car wouldn't start. I looked at the gas gauge. Empty. Somebody had drained the gas out of my car. I got out in a panic and started toward the highway. But there was a car out there, parked behind a big sand dune. I turned and ran back to the house. It was like some crazy, frightening nightmare. I didn't know what I was doing, but somehow I managed to get inside and lock the door. And then suddenly I was at the telephone. Operator? Operator, answer me. Operator, you've got to answer. I want the police. Operator, please help me. Someone. Operator! It was no use. The line was dead. While I was outside, someone had pulled the wires away from the wall. Crawled over to the window. Looked out to the highway. There was a car out there. Its lights were on. But as I looked, they went out. And now, I was alone. In the dark. With him, out there. Out. When I came to, it was morning, and Peggy was there. She and Tommy had driven out after the club closed to find me.
But you see, you didn't die that night.
But neither did he.
Could have been your imagination, you know, this man in the car.
No. The news about this day of execution was on the radio. The man in the car must have heard it and gone away.
Did you call the police?
They didn't believe me. Just because I'm a nightclub singer, they said I was trying to get publicity.
How about the car not starting and the telephone being dead?
According to them, my car was just out of gas, and I must have pulled the telephone wires off the wall myself.
In the panic you were in, you could have.
But I didn't. I tell you, I didn't.
All right, all right. Anyway, it's tonight that we're concerned with.
I don't know what to do. I just don't know what to do.
Well, if it's true, this fear you have, you've got to find it out tonight. If you don't, it'll haunt you the rest of your life.
Oh, I know, but how?
You've got to go back to your room.
Oh, no, I'm afraid.
I'll be with you. I still got your gun, remember? By the way, what were you going to do with that?
I didn't have the nerve to use it, even on myself.
Well, if anything is going to happen, it'll happen tonight. Not tomorrow or any time after that, but tonight. We'll go back to your place now and wait until it's daylight. I drove Fran back to the rooming house on Erie Street. There were no lights on anywhere in the building. We tiptoed down the empty corridor to Fran's room, listened at the door a minute, and went in. The door closed all right, but it wouldn't lock. I must have sprung it when I forced the door. We settled down and waited. For what? Once I thought I heard steps on the sidewalk far out front. It was that still. And then I did hear steps, slowly coming down the hall.
There's someone in the hall.
Keep it down.
He stopped. outside the door.
Don't move.
Who's that knocking at my door? Who's that knocking at my door? Who's that knocking at my
door? Okay. Go ahead, kid. Go ahead. You got it coming.
I'm sorry. I'm all right now.
Nothing to be sorry about. I was kind of scared myself. It's a funny thing about fear. It's catching. Look out the window.
It's almost light.
And this all night has gone for good. You see, it was all in your mind. Things you were frightened of. It was nothing, really. You won't be afraid if I go now.
No. I've caused you an awful lot of trouble.
Oh, now, you cut the howdy. You'll get me going.
And the kids at the club, I guess I should go back there and let them know I'm all right.
What the doctor ordered for you is a little shut-eye. I'll stop by on my way and give them the word.
Good night.
Good night. Oh, here's your gun. You might want to pawn it for a couple of pair of nylons. Yes, a real nice tomato-type tomato, as the funny man at the club would say. On the way over, I got thinking about him and that girl, Peggy. Come to think of it, that was one point Fran had forgotten to clear up for me about the note that sent her out to Peggy's cabin at the dunes that night. Yeah, my mind wouldn't let go of that. When I got to the club, it was daylight, and they were folding up the joint, and Peggy was sitting alone at the bar.
Well, you got a nerve coming back here after...
How's your boyfriend?
He's not my boyfriend.
It's a figure of speech. Where is he?
He just left.
Okay, I'll settle for you.
If you don't mind, it's a little late for small talk, mister.
Okay, I'll give it to you fast. It's about that note you wrote to Fran Fowler last November on the night Charlie Dana was supposed to die.
What note?
A little late for small talk, remember?
I don't know what you're talking about.
You don't know anything about a note inviting Fran to stay out at your place at the dunes?
I told her. I didn't know who wrote it.
But were you telling the truth?
Yes. Yes, I was.
Okay. Maybe you were. But you found out later who wrote it, didn't you?
No, I...
Now, tell me the truth. Or would you rather tell the police?
All right. I did find out, but it wasn't like you think.
Well, who was it?
Tommy. Tommy Mason.
Tommy Mason, the funny man? His idea of a joke, no doubt. A hilarious joke that might have scared a poor kid to death.
No, you're wrong. It wasn't a joke.
Well, then why? Why did he do it?
Because he's in love with her. He made me swear I wouldn't tell her. He wanted to wait until the time when she needed him, and then he'd tell her himself.
Until she needed him? How was he going to make her need him? Use a condemned murderer's empty threat to frighten her out of her sanity so she'd need him? Is he crazy?
He is, where Fran's concerned.
Where is he?
I don't know. He's been like a maniac all night since you left here. After every show, he's gone over to Fran's place looking for her. He's crazy, jealous.
Jealous of whom?
Of you. He thought she was with you.
But what if she were?
This was the night. This was the night he was sure she would need him, and instead, she turned to you. Don't you see?
Yes, I do now. Thanks. It was only about a half mile to Fran's, but it seemed more like 20 miles until I turned off Clark up Erie Street and slammed into the curb. There was no one on the street. I was hoping he'd walk and I'd pass him on the way, but there was no one. I ran down the narrow hall, not daring to think what I'd find, and I flung open the door. Are you alone?
Frightened.
Are you alone?
Well, yes, I've been sitting here since you left. I'm too tired to undress.
Come on, let's get out of here. Grab your coat.
But
Never mind. I'll tell you on the way. I shoved Fran out the door and we started cautiously back down the hall. We got about halfway when I grabbed her arm. The front door was opening slowly and a man made a dark silhouette against the gray light of the dawn. It was the funny man. The man with the slick, shiny hair and the permanent smile and the fast jokes. Only the smile was gone and he had a gun in his hand.
Keep coming.
We started towards him slowly.
Tommy, it was you. You who were going to kill me?
You didn't know that I had a heart too, just like Charlie Dana did.
Tommy, you never told me.
You never let me.
You didn't need me. You would have laughed at me like you laughed at my jokes.
It couldn't have been you at the dunes that night.
I followed you out there.
And then drove back to the club. No, Tommy, no.
You were lonesome, but you didn't need me. You needed Charlie Dana. I thought if you were afraid, you'd need me. And then you were afraid, but still you didn't need me. But I'd make you need me. I'd make you.
Step by step, we moved closer.
Keep coming.
I could see his face twisted with jealousy and hate, his eyes wild, as though a spark might make him explode.
And tonight, when you were afraid and should have needed me, you didn't. You turned to him.
Tommy, please.
But now you need me. Now that I have my finger on this trigger, you need me more than you've ever needed anyone in your life. You need me. You need me, Franny. You need me. Say it. Say you need me.
I can't shoot. I can't shoot.
He started to shake, and I ran forward. He grabbed his gun.
Look out!
Drop it! Drop it! It's all right. I've got the gun.
I can't.
Is he hurt?
Not to what he will be. Get up, funny man.
No! Don't be too hard on him. He didn't realize.
No, I guess maybe he didn't. It's funny, isn't it? You never really know what's going on in some of the best combed heads. Well, that's the way it goes. A little later than usual this morning. The day shift has already moved in and let the night crew wander off to their own private little beds. Well, at least I got to see the sun come up. And here I sit, still trying to make it all add up. But no matter how I figure it, the only answer I get is, you never know about people. But bless them, maybe that's why we love them. See that man walking towards you with a smile on his face? What's he smiling about? Or is it just so you won't notice how he's screaming inside? Ooh, trouble with me is I haven't had my coffee yet. Copy, boy.
Nightbeat, a dramatic series, stars Frank Lovejoy as Randy Stone. Nightbeat is edited by Larry Marcus and directed by Warren Lewis. Music by Frank Worth. The part of Fran was played by Joan Banks. Paul Dubov played Tommy. Others in the cast were Georgia Ellis, Ken Christie, and Carol Richards. Frank Lovejoy will next be seen in Milton Sperling's production Rock Bottom, released by Warner Brothers. Throughout the week, NBC brings you the best adventure mystery dramas on the air. You'll hear action-packed, fast-moving plots to hold your interest right up to the smashing climax on such thrilling programs as Big Town, Mr. District Attorney, The Big Story, and Dragnet, every week on most of these NBC stations. On Dragnet, you'll hear documented cases from the Los Angeles police files. The Big Story brings you true tales from the front pages of America's newspapers. Mr. District Attorney, the champion of the people, takes you through an exciting episode in the conviction of a criminal. And tomorrow night on Big Town, you'll hear crusading editor Steve Wilson crack down on the forces of evil. For the best high-tension dramas, hear NBC's great mystery and adventure programs. Listen next week at this same time and every week as Randy Stone searches through the city for the strange stories waiting for him in the darkness. The stories that come out of the shadows to find their way into Nightbeat. Now, stay tuned for Brian Donlevy as a soldier of fortune on Dangerous Assignment on NBC.
Most tax pros leave a message.
it's Jane. I'm moving on to a TurboTax expert who beat your price. Adam Devine, tell him how I feel.
Hey, tax pro, she's been thinking twice. Best believe TurboTax will beat your price. This is a tax break.
Switch to a TurboTax Live expert and we'll beat what you paid your pro last tax season. Make the switch at TurboTax.com/beat your price. TurboTax full service only. Sign up by 12/20/2024 and file by 4/1/2025. Full details at TurboTax.com/beat your price.
Most tax pros leave a message.
It's Jane. I'm moving on to a TurboTax expert who beat your price. Adam Devine, tell him how I feel.
Hey, tax pro, she's been thinking twice. Best believe TurboTax will beat your price. This is a tax break.
Switch to a TurboTax Live expert and we'll beat what you paid your pro last tax season. Make the switch at TurboTax.com/beat your price. TurboTax full service only. Sign up by 12/20/2024 and file by 4/1/2025. Full details at TurboTax.com/beat your price.
Night Beat.
Hi, this is Randy Stone. I cover the Night Beat for the Chicago Star. The stories I run into start in a million different ways. This one began with a gun in my face and ended with the number 13.
Night Beat, starring Frank Lovejoy as Randy Stone.
It's night again in Chicago, and that's when I start out looking for a story that'll make you say, it takes all kinds to make a world. Yeah, it sure does. One by one, I pass them. That girl over there with her hair held tightly in place by a scarf. Each carefully marceled wave a hopeful insurance that she'll end up looking like somebody in a movie magazine. Or that beaten old man picking a crumbled, soiled newspaper out of a rubbish can. Why does he want a paper? He knows tomorrow will be the same for him no matter what happens in France or England or just around the corner. So tonight, I found myself in a quiet section of the residential district. I wondered what was behind the lighted squares of glass and what went on. Who were those people and what were their problems? I kept going and I walked into...
Hey, I beg your pardon.
Hmm? Oh, yes?
I hesitate to bother you, sir, but do you have a match?
I have a lighter. Will that do?
Thank you.
There you are.
Oh, just a moment.
Yeah.
I am afraid I didn't get a light after all.
What's the matter, Pop? Afraid to ask me for the touch? Here.
Please, put your hands up.
What?
I'm not joking. I have a gun.
Oh, I see it.
Put your hands up.
Okay, okay. Like this?
I warn you, I'll shoot if you try anything.
Well, rule number one when facing a stick-up man who's obviously pulling his first job, be very careful.
It's not my first.
Oh, a hardened old offender, hmm?
Hand me your wallet.
What, with my hands in the air?
Well, put them down, but remember what I said now.
Sure. Why is a nice-looking old man like you doing this?
Stop talking and hand me your wallet.
All right. Here.
Now turn around, face the wall. And don't try to follow me.
Pop, hand me the gun and tell me all about it.
Don't come toward me.
The gun, Pop. Now hand it over. We'll have a talk. Maybe over a cup of coffee.
Stay away, I said.
I should have had better sense. A novice at a stick-up is like a kid with the Einstein theory. He doesn't know what it's all about, and he shoots out of sheer fright and nervousness. That sharp, searing pain across my temple before I blacked out told me a bullet had creased my skull. That's all I remembered. Until I woke up in a precinct police station.
Well, coming out of it, huh, Stone?
Oh, my head, I... Kalski, did you get him?
Nope, prowl car picked you up. Somebody reported a shot.
Oh, and you brought me here.
Mm. Want to try sitting up?
Oh, sure. Oh. How close was it?
Quarter of an inch from pay dirt, I'd say.
Kalski, you are now looking at a prize boob.
Oh?
Oh, yes. Yes, I tried to take a gun away from a stick-up man.
You ought to have better sense.
But this was different. I don't think he ever did it before.
Guy has to start sometime.
Yeah, but he, Want a description?
That's what I'm waiting for, Randy.
Man about 70.
70?
70.
Oh, with a long white beard.
Kalski, the man, was about 70. A little over 5.5 feet.
Sure, sure. Name of Rip Van Winkle?
For all I know, it might be. When you find him, he'll have my wallet on him. Oh, and Kalski.
Yeah?
He's nervous enough to take a shot at anybody. Next time, he might be able to hold a gun a little steadier and on target. So, 10 minutes later, I left the precinct station. Kalski put out a call for the little old man who made like Jesse James. I went back to my desk at the Star. Maybe I had a story. I wanted to wait until the police picked up the old man because whatever made him turn bandit was a story. An hour passed, and I was just about getting ready to give up.
Oh, hi, Mr. Stone.
Oh, hello, Larry.
I didn't come in this time of night. You're almost always out.
Larry, you don't know how close I was to that permanently.
Hurt your head?
Yeah.
How?
Well, I was wearing my hat with a feather in the band.
Huh?
Yes, I got mixed up in a badminton game.
I don't get it.
Well, you work on it, kid. I'll see you tomorrow.
Oh, I get it. Feather, badminton.
Ah, A for effort, Larry.
Oh, hey, I almost forgot.
Go on.
Here's a package for you.
For me? What is it?
I don't know. Open it up and see.
Ah, that's working them out, kid. Where did you get this?
Hey, that's a wallet with some dough in it.
It's mine. I said, where'd you get this?
Dame gave it to me.
Where is she?
Left, I guess.
By the elevator?
I guess so. Leastways, she was waiting for it when
You sure it wasn't a man?
I'm old enough to tell the difference.
Oh, I stand here chewing the fat.
Hey, what's going on? Hey, Mr. Stone.
Larry, stay by the phone. Take down anything that comes in. The woman who brought back my wallet had 8 floors to go down on that slow night elevator. I had a chance to beat her to the lobby, so I took the stairs 5 at a time. And then I was in the lobby, but the elevator had beaten me down. I ran over to the night man.
Well, hello there, Mr. Stone.
How are you?
You didn't come down in the elevator.
Yeah, how long you been down here?
Oh, just a couple of seconds.
A woman ride down with you?
Yeah, from your floor.
She go outside?
Yeah. Hey, something wrong.
Come on with me, will you?
Why all the fuss?
Would you recognize the woman if you saw again?
Oh, I guess so.
Good. I take a look both ways. Tell me if you see her.
Had on a little hat, old lady, too.
Old? How old?
60, 65, thereabouts. She...
You see her?
Ain't sure, but I think that's her at the bus stop.
Which side of the street?
Other side, next block.
Okay, thanks. See you later. Maybe it was she, maybe it wasn't. I hurried across the street just as a bus pulled up and took on a passenger. A little old lady wearing a little hat. I reached the stop as the bus was pulling away.
Hey, you always stick your head in front of buses like that, Buster?
Yeah, I get results in rides that way.
Yeah.
There were other vacant seats in the bus, but the one I wanted was next to a little old lady. A little old lady whose eyes were red, as though she'd been having a real good old-fashioned cry. She didn't even notice me sit down on the seat beside her. For a moment, I just sat and watched her frail, blue-veined hands pulling on a wet handkerchief and sobbing. There's something wrong, lady.
No, I'm all right.
Thanks for returning my wallet. There's $10 missing.
Oh, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know anything about your wallet.
You know, be easy to check that. We get off, we take a bus back to the Star Building. There's a night man and an office boy who saw you.
This is my stop.
2 blocks from the paper? That's a short ride. Now, look, I don't know what this is all about, but I'm willing to learn. Now, you can either tell me here or we can go somewhere else.
Can't you just forget it, please?
Forget it? I could have been killed.
I know, but he didn't mean it.
Who was he, or who is he?
He's my husband.
Oh. Well, do you want to talk about it?
If I tell you why he did it, will you help him?
Look, let's get off this bus. We'll take a cab to... Well, where?
I want to go home.
All right, I'll take you home. But something tells me I'm sticking my neck out.
Down, Mr. Stone.
No, not right away. Is your husband here?
No.
All right, let's have the truth, Mrs. Benson. Why did your husband hold me up?
It was the only way he could get the money tonight.
Why tonight?
We need $200 by tomorrow morning.
Oh? Then why return my wallet to me with over $50 in it? Why didn't he keep it all?
He needed just enough to...
Enough for what, Mrs. Benson?
I want to show you something. Then you'll understand. Here. Look at these.
Now, what are these?
Look at them.
Yes, I'm looking. What do they mean? Figures, problems, pages of them, notebooks filled
with... His system for winning at roulette.
Winning at... Oh, no.
For the last 10 years, he's done nothing but work on it.
Well, there's always one of those. The big brain who can sit down and beat the little numbers that go around.
Oh, please.
Does he have any idea how many of these systems have put period to a lot of rosy dreams?
He believes in it.
Yeah, they all do.
Harry's no fool. He's a brilliant man, Mr. Stone. He was a professor of mathematics.
Was?
Yes. But they said he was too old. Retired him.
No other jobs?
Nobody wanted a mathematician or a man almost 70.
Yeah, but this gambling, he should know better. The odds are never with the player, only with the house.
At first, it was just a hobby. He liked to work out the odds, and then when things got desperate...
Yes, and now?
We have the scent.
And tonight he's going to play his big system, hmm? Where?
I don't know. I told you, I don't know.
Did he take the gun?
No. He left it here.
Well, that's one good thing, anyway.
What will you do now?
I don't know.
And the police?
They're looking for him already.
Oh, get to him first, Mr. Stone.
Why?
He won't let himself be arrested like a thief. That's the last thing he said. He wouldn't let the police arrest him.
You are listening to Nightbeat, starring Frank Lovejoy as Randy Stone.
So there I had it. A little old ex-professor of mathematics with another system for beating an unbeatable game. There's something in each of us that makes every individual believe he's different. The I can do better philosophy is human. If it weren't, we wouldn't have the Brooklyn Bridge, the better mousetrap, or the fellow who blinks his eyes in bewilderment and says, I thought I had it all figured out. Okay, I decided to go after Professor Benson. I headed for a spot where I thought I might pick up some information.
What's in your mind, Stone? They said you wanted to see me.
Yeah, just for a minute, Cully.
Okay, what?
How's the game going?
Win a little, I lose a little. You want in?
No, not tonight. Tell the truth, Cully, I'm looking for a bigger layout.
Blue chips here are 500. How big can you get?
Oh, some. But this is a private poker party.
Yeah, I wouldn't want news of it to get around.
Oh, don't worry, Cully. I did you a favor.
Now, remember, give me a break in your paper. Okay, what do you want?
I want to know where there's a roulette layout.
Don't know?
You get around.
Some, but I don't talk about it.
Just this once, Cully.
Why?
I'm looking for somebody who might be playing.
Why?
I gotta find him.
Why?
Oh, Cully, you're repeating yourself.
Anything else? Maybe I'd do you a favor. This? No. Besides, I don't think there's a wheel in town.
I think there is.
Okay, you think. Now, so long, Slim.
All right.
Oh, before you go...
Yeah.
If I were you, I'd make this the last stop. You ask funny questions, and you might not get such funny answers.
It was the same in the other three places. And after hitting each one, I checked with the police, but Professor Benson seemed to have got himself swallowed up somewhere in the 1,000 square miles of Chicago. And then I was on my way again, trying to remember all the likely places until...
Hiya. Mind if I walk with you?
Now, what if I did?
Oh, I'd walk anyway. I need exercise. My doctor says so. Hey, you got a doctor?
Yeah. What's your problem?
Oh, not much you couldn't clean up, Stone.
Oh, you know me.
Sure, everybody knows Randy Stone. You're real famous-like. You're getting even more famous tonight.
What's the answer to that?
You've been around a few places.
And that's illegal?
No, but it's silly.
Okay, so I'm silly. So long. Glad to meet you.
Hey, not so fast, Stone. We got to talk.
On what subject?
Money. That suits you?
All right. Get rid of it. What have you got to say?
Look, Stone, everybody wants peace and quiet. The whole world's in a mix-up because one guy don't agree with the other guy, right?
Oh, my. Another big thinker with brass knuckles.
Yeah. Now, like I say... Everybody wants peace and quiet. But
but there's a lot of guys have to make a living in a funny way.
Mm-hmm. Why don't you get to the point?
Sure. Now, take you, for example, huh? Your boss says, Stone, go out and see how many gambling joints are buzzing. So you, being a nice, hard worker, you
nobody
go out...
Nobody sent me out for that.
Okay, so nobody sends. But somebody sends me.
So what about it?
Nothing. Only everybody likes to see everybody else happy. Maybe this could do it for you.
Hmm. How much is that?
$1,000.
I'm stirring up a lot of muddy water, huh?
Yeah. You've been to 3-4 places. And to the cops.
Not for what you think.
I ain't paid to think, only to carry out orders. This is one. Want the dough?
Listen, I'm only looking...
Yeah. Looking for somebody. Cut it out.
I'm telling the truth.
I'm telling the truth, too. Stone, put your nose in one more place where they don't like stuck in noses. And somebody will push it right to the back of your head.
Sometime, somewhere, somebody said there's nothing like a quiet fireside complete with pipe and slippers. But can you make a career out of it? For that matter, can you make a career out of a holdup, a creased skull, and a nasty little hoodlum? Well, I was trying to. And just to find an ex-professor who had a very common disease, I can't lose-itis. Okay, I'd try one or two more places, and then I'd quit. I got the same answers, and by this time the name of Randy Stone was enough to close more doors than a quarantine sign. I was asking for it, and I got it.
Stone.
Huh?
Here I am again.
Oh, yes, I see. Okay, you win. Let's forget the whole thing.
Just like that, huh? Over here, you guys. Brought some friends.
I said you win. Let's forget it.
Yeah, you was told. You didn't pay attention.
Use your head, fella. Beat me up and every newspaper in town will get the story. They'll really split things open.
I got orders.
Well, forget them. Go back and tell the guy...
I got orders. Besides, you ought to be a good example. Any other cookie who thinks he's a one-man vice squad. You guys close it.
Now, listen to me. I'm not out to set up a knockover for anything. I'm hunting for someone.
Don't go through that again.
It's the truth.
Max, start the ball rolling.
You're an idiot. You're...
To think you could have had a grand instead of this. Hey, now your nose looks much better.
A professional working over is done with finesse. It's meant to stop just short of murder, but leave a nasty memory. When I came to, I was propped against a building in the alley, and the world at that moment was a bad place. And I was mad, and my anger was for the little professor with his system. Now I really wanted to find him and turn him over to the police. But I couldn't find him the way I'd started out. No one to talk. No one except perhaps one person. One of those strange, pathetic creatures known as a stoolie. I cleaned myself up at the nearest washroom, grabbed a cab, and went to see him at a dirty, shabby rooming house. He was there.
Look, Randy, you got yourself worked over already. What do you want from me, huh?
Just a little information, Gus.
Yeah, I know. Nobody comes to me except for that. Someday I'm going to buy a chicken farm and get out of this business.
Yeah, now listen, you know everything that goes on in this town, within limitations.
Yeah, I know plenty, but not everything.
Well, most of it. I want you to find out something for me.
Yeah?
There's a roulette wheel somewhere.
I don't know nothing.
Oh, come on, Gus, come on.
Randy, sir, help me. Hope to kiss a pig. Nothing.
Don't be afraid, Gus. I'm not starting a cleanup. I just want to find someone.
I know from nothing.
For $50?
Huh?
$50.
It ain't good, Randy. I done a lot of favors for the cops. They shoot square with me. They kind of see I don't get hurt, but you...
This isn't a crusade. I want to find someone.
You leveling, Randy?
I'm leveling.
Well, if you ain't, if anything happens, both of us could end up real bad in the red. I do a nice business.
All right, just between you and me, Gus, now. How about it?
$75?
Okay, 75.
Now?
I haven't got it on me. You know I'm good for it.
Then send it to me, not bring it personally.
All right, I'll send it to you.
Uh-huh. Now, who do you want to find?
So I left it with Gus, and he arranged to call me at a pay station as soon as he learned anything. I waited in front of the phone for an hour, and then an hour and a half. And all the while, I wondered what was happening with Professor Benson. The thing was building up in my mind. It'd be ironic if his system worked with my money. What would I do? What could I do? Whose money would it be? Then the call came through in the booth. Hello?
Randy?
Oh, yeah, Gus.
Yeah, I got what you want, but you got to promise no knockover.
No, I told you that.
Okay. There's a little guy like you told me about. He's playing the wheel.
Where?
Remember the old Dixie Club?
Yeah.
Okay, there's a layout in the back. Everything from Faro to one-armed bandits. All fancy.
And he's there?
Yeah. And Randy.
What?
You better get there quick.
Why? What's the matter?
This guy's hotter than a $2 pistol, and the boys running the joint are getting cross with him.
All right. I'll see you.
Now, hold it,
what?
Will you? You gotta know how to get in.
Yeah, that might be handy. How do I do it?
Well, when you get to the door, just say, the name is McReady. See?
Yeah. McReady. I went back to Mrs. Benson because I figured I might need her. And then the two of us went to the old Dixie Club. From the outside, it looked like a boarded-up house, but Gus knew what he was talking about. A knock on the door, it opened a tiny bit, and I was McReady. Then the door opened all the way. Mrs. Benson and I went in, back to a big room filled with people. But the dice game was deserted, so was the blackjack table and the faro layout, also the poker tables. But the crowd pressed in against the roulette table, around a little old man whose face was flushed and whose skin glistened with perspiration. In front of him was a huge stack of chips, and as Mrs. Benson and I approached the table.
Number 11, black.
I won. I won again. It's working. You see, everyone, it's working.
Hello, Benson.
Stone.
Uh-huh. Doing all right, huh?
Please, you're not here to take me away.
Well, that's the general idea.
Harry, come with us.
Oh, no, no. Look, I've got all this and there's more to come.
Okay, you're ahead. But there is something else. Earlier this evening, you
did... Here's your money. Take it.
Harry, I've never seen you like this.
Dora, all this money, yours and mine.
Yeah, all right, now, come on, pick it up and let's go.
No, I won't let you take me till I play to the end of my system.
Your system, yes.
Yes. I've waited for this. Waited till I knew I was right. Now you want to
take it easy. What's your trouble, mister?
Are you speaking to me?
Right to you.
Who are you?
I happen to run this place.
Well, it's slightly illegal, isn't
it? Who are you?
I'll tell you. He's a newspaper man. His name is Stone, and he wants to
take
me away.
Stone, huh? How'd you get in here?
I know a man named McReady.
I wish I knew how you got to know him.
I was introduced. Now let's cut out the small talk.
$5,000 isn't small talk. That's what he's into me for.
Any objection if he takes it and leaves?
I won't. You listen to me.
Harry, don't you know what you've done tonight?
Yes, I do. I've won for us.
All right, then take it and leave.
No. No, I said no. For 40 years, I gave everything I had to other people. What did they give me? A gold watch and a wonderful speech. But Dora and I couldn't eat the speech. Maybe if you spent over half your life... over half your life in trying to...
Harry...
All right, well, what do we do now?
It's up to him. He's playing a closed table. If he wants to go on, all right.
I do.
That answer you, Stone?
Now, what'll happen?
What do you mean by that?
Figure it out.
I see. You know what could happen, don't you, Stone?
Sure, I've met a few muscle boys already tonight.
Could get worse.
Okay. All right, Benson, it's your funeral. You've got $5,000 in front of you now. You can take it and leave, or you can play. Suit yourself.
I'm going to play.
No, Harry, no.
I've got two more numbers, Dora, two more.
Okay, place your bet, Benson.
Yes. 27, red. $1,000. Will you take that much?
I'll cover it. Go ahead.
Harry, for the last time, don't.
No matter what we say, he'll do it. Let him go.
27, red.
All right, spin it.
Sure.
And be careful.
Yeah, I'll be careful.
Please spin the wheel.
Harry.
What's the matter?
Nothing. Go on, spin it.
Sure. Number 27, red.
you see? You see, you thought I was crazy, but look at it. Look at it. I've won again.
Harry!
Benson! Come on, help me get him away from
here. Take him into my office, will you? Get him away from here.
I've got to play one more.
Yeah, sure, sure. You've got to play one more number. Give me a hand, somebody, please. Go ahead. That's
no,
it. Thank
no,
you.
Don't
come
take
on,
me
Benson.
Away. Please.
Come on, come
please.
On. All right, on the couch.
You don't understand. There's one more number. My money. Where is it?
It's at the table. Now, take it easy.
No, my money. Somebody will steal
it'll
it.
It'll be all right.
Dora, go back and get it. Dora, go
I'll
back.
Call for a doctor.
No. Let me up.
No, Harry, lie down.
My money. Get it, Dora. Get it.
All right. Stay with him, Mrs. Benson. Don't let him up.
Yes.
Well?
How much does he have coming?
Including the last spend, $41,000.
Can you cover?
I'll cover.
All right, cash these.
Wait a minute. Maybe he wants to play some more.
He's finished playing. Cash these.
Okay. Eddie, get $41,000 in the safe and...
No! Leave it there!
What?
Leave it there!
What are you talking about?
He wants to play it.
Oh, he's crazy. Let me talk to him.
No. No, he won't listen. He wants to play it. To the end. He made me promise I would.
Well, do you want to?
I promised.
All of it?
Yes.
Can you cover that much?
Not at 35-1. 20 cents on the dollar, take it or leave it. Take it and I'll spin. Leave it and I'll close the wheel now.
I'll play.
Oh, for the love of heaven, Mrs. Benson, there's $41,000 here. Do you realize you can lose?
He said I couldn't.
I bet he's got...
I promised I'd play it on number 21.
Oh, let me talk to him. Let me...
No, please. No, I made a promise. Play it.
$41,000 on number 21, red. Is that what you want?
Yes.
All right.
A fair spin.
A fair spin. And the last one.
Go ahead, please. Go ahead.
All right. 21 red. Number 13 black.
Oh, how about that, fellas?
Are you satisfied, Mr. Benson?
Yes, yes, I am. I didn't want it to win. I didn't want that money because it killed him.
It killed him?
Yes. Yes, he's dead.
What? Oh, Mrs. Benson, I... Now, what can I say?
Oh, he was so sure, so sure. And I lied to him. I lied. But I didn't want it. He killed him.
You lied? No, no. You kept your promise. You played for him.
Here.
But his system, it's... Why, Mrs. Benson, you played 21.
I know. And his last number was 13.
Well, here I sit, back in the office, wondering, watching the lights go out and the dingy gray of dawn creeping through the streets. And somewhere out there is an old woman, a lonely old woman who could have had almost $50,000, but at the loss of something that no amount of money could buy back for her. The man who quit while he was ahead. Yep. Where there's a winner, there's a loser. That's the way it's been, and that's the way it'll always be. Oh, well. Copy, boy.
Nightbeat, a new dramatic series, stars Frank Lovejoy as Randy Stone. Tonight's story was written by Russell Hughes. Nightbeat is edited by Larry Marcus and directed by Warren Lewis. Music by Frank Worth. Others in tonight's cast were Jane Morgan, Stan Waxman, Wilms Herbert, William Tracy, Gerald Moore, and Jack Crucian. Frank Lovejoy will next be seen in Milton Sperling's production Rock Bottom, released by Warner Brothers. Throughout the week, NBC brings you the very best adventure mystery dramas on the air. You'll hear action-packed, fast-moving plots to hold your interest right up to the smashing climax on NBC's thrilling mystery shows. During these stellar programs, you'll hear mystery and intrigue, adventure, and high-tension drama. Match your powers of observation against the best in detective fiction, in solving crimes, and unraveling intrigue. There's fast-moving action to lift you from beside your radio into the romantic land of mystery and adventure. These exciting dramas are as interesting as tomorrow's race results today, and you'll hear them every night over most of these NBC stations. Remember, if it's mystery and adventure dramas you're tune for the best on NBC. Listen next week at this same time and every week as Randy Stone searches through the city for the strange stories waiting for him in the darkness. The stories that come out of the shadows to find their way into Nightbeat. Now, stay tuned for Brian Donlevy as a soldier of fortune on Dangerous Assignment on NBC.
Most tax pros leave a message.
It's Jane. I'm moving on to a TurboTax expert who beat your price. Adam Devine, tell him how I feel.
Hey, tax pro, she's been thinking twice. Best believe TurboTax will beat your price.
This is a tax break.
Switch to a TurboTax Live expert and we'll beat what you paid your pro last tax season. Make the switch at TurboTax.com/beatyourprice. TurboTax full service only. Sign up by 12/20/2024 and file by 4/1/2025. Full details at TurboTax.com/beatyourprice.